Now, over the last few weeks, looking at Proverbs 1 to 3, we've been talking about the importance of wisdom that comes from God's Word and the need to gain such wisdom. Well, the question is, what have you been doing lately to gain wisdom in the light of everything that we've been saying so far? Has anything that we've been looking at over the last few weeks made a difference to your attitude? Have you found yourself starting to think about things differently now? Things that perhaps you can do that you didn't do previously in order for you to learn more? Or has everything we've been looking at over the last few weeks not really made much of an impression in your life? Now, I hope you don't think I sound like a broken record, something that repeats itself over and over again. But this isn't me banging on about this. It's Solomon. And through Solomon, it's ultimately God who's wanting to impress upon our hearts the need for us to acquire wisdom. So, have you been listening to what we've been saying? And are you doing something about it? Or is all of this not really that important to you? In verse 1, Solomon continues. He calls upon his sons to listen to their father. Here we see that God is calling out to us, just like a father calls out to his children. God wants us to listen. He wants us to pay attention. He wants us to take on board his teaching. He wants us to gain the knowledge and understanding that comes from him. As Solomon says in verse 2, what we've been instructed in as we've been going through the book of Proverbs is sound learning. It's good teaching. Now, the point of a preacher standing up in front of a church isn't to sprout his own opinion about things or to entertain the audience. The function of the sermon and Bible studies isn't just to fill in time or to make everyone feel good about themselves. In church, we study God's word because it's the most important instruction that we can get in life. So God is telling us and reminding us this morning, don't forsake the opportunities that God gives you to receive such instruction. It'll make a difference to your life. In verses 3 to 9, Solomon recalls the instruction that his father and mother had passed down to him previously. He was his father's son, his mother's tender, precious child. And what parents don't want what's best for their children? And this is why Solomon's dad, David, and Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, instructed him about the word of God. It was the best instruction their child could ever receive. And his dad told him, let your heart grasp hold of my words. Keep my commandments and live. Here we see that the way of life is the way of following the word of God. In the Old Testament, when Moses and the prophets called upon Israel to keep God's commandments in order to live, they weren't saying that we save ourselves by our good works. What they meant when they said that was, Israel, you need to have God's word in your heart. You need to listen to God's word and to follow God's word. If you're not putting it into practice, then it's not in your heart. And if it's not in your heart, then you'll die in your sins, because it's the word of God that gives life. Listen to God's word and follow it. In verse 5, Solomon puts this need to hear and obey God's word in terms of wisdom. Friends, we need, more than anything else, to gain wisdom. We need, more than anything else, to get understanding. We need to have God's word in our life. We need to understand God's word, to know its contents, and never to forget that. Solomon says that we're not to turn away from what God says. If we don't forsake or ignore God's wisdom, then she'll guard us. If we love wisdom, then she'll protect us. But what have you been doing lately? Have you been ignoring God by not taking up the opportunities that God is giving you to grow in wisdom? Do you set aside time every day to read God's word? Do you spend time on a regular basis seeking to grow in Christian understanding? Listening to Christian music, reading Christian books, listening to talks or sermons online, joining a Bible study group, talking with Christian friends about God, coming along to church. These are all ways through which you can grow in your understanding of the faith. You know, a car can't run without petrol in the tank, and a person can't live without God's word in the heart. In verse 7, Solomon recounts his father's advice concerning the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is actually desiring to acquire wisdom. Now, the old NIV translation probably hasn't translated it quite correctly at this point in verse 7, but I had a look at the new NIV translation and it's gone for what I think is the right translation here. It says, the beginning of wisdom is getting wisdom. Actually desiring wisdom. Thinking about what we can do to grow in wisdom. Realising that in everything that we acquire here on earth, acquiring wisdom is the best thing that we can get. That is the key to getting wisdom. So where do you stand at this point? Have you been busy studying or working in the hope of doing well materially in life? Is that what it's all about for you? Are you doing all you do for the sake of acquiring more gadgets or a nice house or more money or the love of some man or woman without seeking above all else to acquire the wisdom that comes from God? Why so much effort spent on things that don't last? Why so much sweat and tears over things that don't really make any difference to the state of your soul? As Jesus said, what good is it for a person to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? So instead of slaving away in an effort to fulfill our own desires through the things of this world, what we need to do is to see the true value of wisdom. But how many of us have been giving time lately thinking about this? How many of us have a true appreciation for the value of the wisdom that comes from God? You know, thousands of people throughout the world sing about and cheer for their sporting teams, or they talk about their country's beauty or the latest achievements that they or their country have been able to achieve. But they're silent when it comes to singing the praise of God's wisdom. But David told his son Solomon, as we see in verse 8, that we're to sing the praise of wisdom. Sing her praise, and she will exalt you. She will honour you if you embrace her. So whose praise have you been singing lately? Who or what have you been embracing? A good indication is to examine what you tend to do in your spare hours. If your first thought is videos or games or food or coffee rather than learning more about God, then you really haven't understood the value of God's wisdom and what it can do for you. And that's not to say that we need to give up coffee, but wisdom needs to be higher up on the scale of priorities than a cappuccino. Because wisdom will do more for us than any cup of coffee can ever do. Wisdom can provide us with a beautiful crown of grace for our head. That is what's on offer here. To be honoured by and before the God of creation. Just think about that. To be honoured by God in his presence. That's more than anything in this world can ever give you. And yet, so often, we're so short-sighted. We go around thinking that this gadget, or this car, or this woman, or this kind of boyfriend, or this kind of house, or this much money can give us what we need. And we make our existence here on earth worthwhile if we have those things. But friends, all of that is just a pipe dream. That kind of thinking is false. It's short-term, so-called gain for long-term pain. In verse 10, Solomon returns to his own words of advice to his son. Previously, he had been recalling what his father had said to him, but now he returns to give his own advice to his son. And he calls upon his son to receive the words of instruction that he's passing down. It's a message direct from God for each one of us here today. Listen, God is saying, listen to me and receive my words, so that the years of your life might be many. Friends, eternal life is at stake here. Life beyond the grave. Life lived eternally in the presence of God, experiencing the fullness of blessing. That's what's involved here when we're dealing with God's word. And this is the way of wisdom that God is instructing us in through his word. Solomon tells us that the way of wisdom is a straight path. And the benefit of a straight path is freedom and speed of movement. Now you tell me, what's fastest? Running down a straight track or running along a windy road? What is it? Straight track. All the land speed records have been set using a straight run. The fastest wheeled vehicle in history so far was a 16.5 metre long jet engined vehicle called Thrust SSC. And it reached a speed, as measured over a mile, a speed of 1,228 kilometres per hour. The first time in history that a land vehicle had gone supersonic. And that's what the SSC stands for, supersonic car. Now have a look at the tracks of Thrust SSC. They're straight, not crooked. If you want to go places in life, you need to travel down the straight path. On a straight path, you can run with freedom without stumbling. So then why is it that we're so often tempted to travel down the crooked pathway of the wicked? As Solomon tells us in verse 15, the windy way of worldly wickedness is to be avoided. Whatever you do, don't travel down that road. Don't walk on that track. Turn away from it and go in the opposite direction along the pathway that leads to life. Don't follow the way of the world, because it's the way of evil and ignorance. You know, some people think that the way of the world is cool. Some people think that it's hip or fun. Others think the way of the world is the way of freedom, the way of self-fulfillment, the way of personal choice. But following the way of the world, copying what non-believers do, in reality, is the way of evil and death. Now, you might have non-Christian family or friends that you like hanging around with. Well, spend time with them, but don't start thinking like them in terms of your beliefs or moral standards. Once on the pathway of evil, you start living for evil, planning what is evil, and causing harm not only to yourself but also to others. The idea of making people stumble or fall in verse 16 is basically speaking about how non-believers, through their actions, cause people to miss out on salvation. So you might have a friend who is a good mate and rather supportive, but if that person is encouraging you to follow the way of the world by his or her beliefs or lifestyle, then that person in the end is basically working for Satan. Following the way of the world is to join in with Satan. It's to give yourself over to evil. It's promoting not just your own destruction, but the destruction of others too. And the food of such people, Solomon says, is the bread of wickedness, and their drink is the wine of violence and transgression. But contrast this to the path of the righteous. The pathway of those who follow God and His word is like the sun that comes up in the morning, shining brighter and brighter until the full light of the day has arrived. Now, what do you prefer? Light or darkness? Which makes you safer? Light or darkness? Which enables you to see things as they truly are? The light or the darkness? Solomon tells us that the way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know against what they stumble. Now imagine for a moment that you had been chosen to star in the next big reality TV series. It involves you being dropped off at random somewhere in the Blue Mountains at night without any torch on a moonless night. And the idea of the program is to see what happens to you. How would you feel? How fast could you travel? Would you avoid stumbling or falling over a cliff? It might be fun for a reality TV show, perhaps, but who'd be willingly in the situation of choosing that kind of existence as their everyday experience? But friends, that's what we're choosing if we follow the world rather than God. Darkness. And if the thought of darkness doesn't sound appealing to you, well, that means you'd better stick with the better option. The way of wisdom. The way of paying attention to God's words. Listening closely to what He says. Don't turn away. Don't ignore what we've been saying here every Sunday. Don't close your eyes by not reading or considering God's word. What we learn from God's word needs to be kept within our hearts. The greatest blessing we can have in this life is finding God's word. Because having God's word means life and healing for our body. So friends, what we need to do is to guard our hearts closely. That's what Solomon is encouraging us to do. We need to guard our hearts closely. From the biblical point of view, what matters in the end, in terms of a person's eternal destiny, is the state of each person's heart. Solomon tells us that the heart is the wellspring of life. Life flows from the heart. As long as our heart is good. And our heart can only be good if God's word is found there. Now we know that the heart, talking about the physical heart here, is a vital organ for life. It's the heart that pumps the life-sustaining blood throughout the body. We can think of God's word as being like the red blood cells containing the oxygen of God's spirit that gives us eternal life. In terms of our physical hearts, the experts tell us that we need to protect our heart. We need to look after our heart. We're told that we need to have a healthy diet to avoid foods that clog our arteries, which can cause damage to the heart. In a similar way, on a spiritual level, we need to be looking after our heart. We need to protect our heart. But how closely have you been guarding your heart lately? In verse 24, Solomon tells us that we need to turn away from crooked and deviant words. A crooked mouth and deviant lips signify any kind of talk that is inconsistent with God's way of life and God's way of talking. Now we have a record in the Bible of how God talks. And what does God do when He talks? Does God go around telling lies or using coarse language? How does God talk there in the Bible? We see that God doesn't speak frivolously or without thinking. Every single word of his is measured. He values every single thing he says. The problem with bad language is that it reflects a bad heart. As Jesus said, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a person unclean. So the way we speak can be problematic, but also what we look at. In verse 25, Solomon tells us that we need to look straight ahead and not at the world around us. So often we're tempted to look around at anything that attracts us. Our focus needs to be on the way ahead, not the world around us. Our focus needs to be on God's way, the straight path, the path that Jesus followed. If our focus is on Jesus and God's word, then we'll be able to move forward without undue difficulty in life. And in the end, our life won't have been lived in vain. The question is, though, to what extent have we been doing this? Have you been guarding your heart closely lately? Have you been seeking for your heart to be filled exclusively with God's word? Or have you been opening your heart up to unhelpful influences and temptations? Remember, what we look at, what we think about, what we focus on is important here. We're supposed to be focused on Jesus, but so often we're attracted by the images of the world which is seeking to lead us astray. So instead of sneaking a peek at the world, we need to keep our focus on God and his word, making sure that we're walking along the straight path and hopefully never, ever deviating from it. So friends, what God is telling us today is, basically, whatever you do, you need to get wisdom. I hope that you've heard this message and that you'll go out from this place and do something about it.